Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. I'm Greg Williams. You're here in my home in the beautiful, I think the most beautiful and awesome city in the world, Houston, Texas. A lot of people will disagree with me on that, but just look behind me. Isn't that a beautiful sunset over the Texas Medical Center? It's just going down. It looks like my lighting's a little bit messed up, but once that goes down, it'll all even back out here. But welcome to the program. I just want to let you know, we appreciate Don and Doug and TJ at the BBS radio station. They appreciate you all being with us tonight, and I do too. It's just special that we get to spend an hour each Sunday night. 9 out of 10 times of those are live. We do pre-recordings. I think tonight is a rescheduling from the time we had to do a pre-recording because, if I remember right, we had a hurricane that knocked out our electricity, and we had to postpone the show to tonight, which I'm looking forward to, and I appreciate the guest flexibility being able to do that. There are several ways to get involved. So you can just sit back, relax. We all decided that our guest and myself don't drink coffee, but TJ at the radio station does, so he's going to drink all the coffee for us. But get you a nice, cool beverage, whatever it is. Sit back and just learn something tonight. I've always thought that we've been doing this for over 5 years now, that each Sunday night we would have people from around the world come in and just share what they've gone through, what they've experienced, what they've learned going through that, and how they can impact other people like us by providing that knowledge and their story to us. So I have no idea how deep our guest is going to get into his own personal situations, but we want to have a platform that they're free to go however deep they want to, but to share why it affects them, why they care about the subject they're talking about, and why they have made a lean in towards trying to make the world a better place by understanding what emotions, what trauma, what story, what pain, whatever they're dealing with has caused them and what they've learned from that. So we're going to be learning some things tonight that I have no clue about. And just when you think you know it all, somebody like our guest comes in tonight with some more knowledge that I have nothing to know about. But I'm very anxious because I'm wondering sometimes maybe I could be affected by this. Or maybe some people that I'm going to come across in my life is going to be affected. Several ways to get involved. 888-627-6008 is a toll-free number. It won't even cost you a dime, like in the olden days when you get used to getting the booth and put a dime in and call. You can just call toll-free right on your cell phone, and TJ with his wonderful radio voice will answer the phone and patch you right in to us. But I want to let you know you need to do that within the next 55 minutes. So feel free to call in if you want to, or you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page, and it is up and running right now. Yes, it is right there. I'm looking at it. You can comment on there, or the third way is you can text me at 832-396-6525, and during our only commercial break at the bottom of the hour, I will check. Oh, I already got some texts from y'all. I will check on what you want to comment about or what question you have, and we will relay that to our guest. So just whatever it is, jump in and enjoy the program tonight. We have some neat guests coming up in the next few weeks. We want to make sure that you stay tuned to us on this Sunday night. And then remember, always on bbsradio.com, the archives are there, so you can actually talk into your iPhone and tell that girl named Siri, hey, I want to listen to the latest. And she will play the latest Breaking the Silence right there on your radio as you're going down the road and listening in. Hope you have a lot of good Dallas people that I've met up at the Dallas Crimes Against Children Convention. I spoke up there 6 times recently, and it was a great, great conference. And I think we have a lot of new listeners that are listening in from that. So welcome to the program. And I was speaking while I speak on a topic, and I've done this several times this past week. And I call one of my topics, one of my seminars, The Perfect Storm. And we look at all of the different elements that's happening in our world today, of all the different stress things that are just popping up in our world, from racism and gun violence and police and then the politics and the media overload and the self-damaging things that we tell each other, the negativity in this world, and then all of the emotional responses and issues that we're dealing with, not only our physical pain, but our mental anguish and our emotions that goes haywire. And, I watched a show last night, or part of a show called The Perfect Storm, and it reminded me of it. But it was with George Clooney, a whole different storm. But there's that kind of emotional turbulence that's going on around us in this world. And if you don't think that it doesn't affect what's going on up here almost on a daily basis, then I think we need to rethink that a little bit, because it does. It literally gets up into our attic and it'll start kicking some of our shingles loose in our mental gray matter up there. And what's the result of all that static? What's the result of all those emotions? What do we do with all those feelings? First of all, I sometimes feel that all those emotions are evil and wrong and demonic and things that aren't meant to be in my world, and I try to just cast them all out. But I want to let you know, those emotions have a purpose in our body. Fear has a purpose. It tells us, hey, we're in the wrong place, and we have that fear that we need to protect ourselves. It's our body's response to be able to let us know something is happening that we need to be very sensitive and aware of. So don't be ashamed of the emotions. Don't be embarrassed by the emotions. Don't ignore the emotions. And don't bottle them up, because sometimes we do. Feelings and emotions are trying to tell us something, so don't ignore them. They're not meant to be fixed. Feelings are meant to be felt. Now, don't ride that horse until it dies, and don't ride it too hard. Feelings are trying to tell us that something's happening that we may need to be keenly aware of. And there's three or four ways you can deal with it. One is you try to cope with it. We try to distract ourselves from those feelings. We'll get on here and do Facebook, or we'll play a bingo game, or we'll do solitaire, or we'll do TikTok. And we try to just say, okay, I'm going to distract and get completely away from those emotions, and I just try to cope past it. The one that caused the most damage in me, physically and mentally and emotionally, was I try to conceal it. I try to put it all away, put it in a closet, close the closet door, lock it, and throw it away, and say, they're gone. They're never going to affect me again. And thanks for playing. That doesn't work. That does not work, because those emotions, feelings, all of that stress will eventually bust down that door that we thought was safe and nicely closed in a nice little package. And then some of us try to control every emotion that we have. And we try our hardest to take charge of it. And sometimes the situations just aren't manageable, but we try to. And I want to let you know that is not a long-term solution for all of those feelings and emotions. And I'm starting to learn in life, and yes, I am years old, but I'm starting to learn in life that the only way that I can actually deal with my emotions, and I'm anxious to hear what our guest has to say about this, is make a connection. Make a connection with myself, with somebody else, with a way that is an adaptable way and a good way, a positive way of me being able to express in a safe way and in a safe environment with somebody that I trust. And in that, I need to find out as much as I can about the things that I am experiencing. So I need to educate myself on it. I need to get as much knowledge on it that I can as possible. And I need to try to find as much wisdom. Because I want to let you know, the world around us is like taking this little 20-ouncer of soda and just doing this. And just keep doing this all day long. And I want to let you know the pressure inside of this, you can already see, is starting to just build up and build up. And then there's days that somebody will walk into my life that I don't even have a chip against my, you know, my shoulder against them, but they say the wrong thing and I just spew all over them and I go there. And they didn't deserve it. Just the next person that comes along that says the wrong thing, and I just absolutely explode. We need to figure out a way how to handle this and allow the emotions, the stress, all of that to slowly leak out of us, to get it in an environment to where I can connect with somebody, connect with a journal, connect with mindfulness, connect somewhere with your creator, with your higher power, whatever it is, but to connect, to make sure it doesn't just devastate us even more, because feelings are important. Don't ignore them. Okay, that's kind of what I've been on a soapbox lately on this week, and I just wanted to share that with you tonight. I first of all want to, if you hear a big explosion, it's my soda bottle going crazy here in a minute. But I want to just welcome our guest tonight, Dan Granger. Dan was on, getting ready to be scheduled to be on the program. He was scheduled. We've sent out the promotional posters and everything. And then we had a hurricane around here. Electric wasn't coming on. So we have rescheduled him to tonight. And I want to bring Dan in right now. And he has coped with something that I got a feeling you can still tell he's coping with things because look at his hat. But he's coping with something that I don't know anything about. And I'm so excited, even though I read the book, Seasonal Affective Disorder. Every winter he has dealt with this since he was a child growing up in the Midwest, like I did in Wisconsin. I grew up in Illinois. As a former teacher of 15 years and a certified reading specialist, he combines all of that professional wisdom and the personal background, and he has delivered a book for children, but adults as well, that is an informative, entertaining, beautifully illustrated, and an inspiring children's book that's called Why Is Sam So Sad? SAD, Seasonal Affective Disorder and Depression from a Child's Perspective. He has college degrees hanging all the way across his wall, and we'll let him talk about that if he wants to, but he is very educated, and I just want to welcome him to the program, and probably, I can say in the last 5 years that we've been on the program, the most stylish of our guests that we have ever had right here on our program. So Dan, welcome to the show. Can you hear me all right tonight?
I can hear you fine. So many things to comment on. I did see Perfect Storm as a watcher. I was like, okay, what's going to happen? You know, I mean, obviously spoiler alert, but it's a true story. And I'm like rooting for the, and there was nothing to root for. I'm from Wisconsin. You're a Dallas fan. Don't hold that against me. Okay. Just, we get that out of the way. As far as anxiety and the shaking the Coke up, when I was interviewed, and at one point they like said, what is some of the things that are on your desk? A cherry Coke had to be there. But as far as like anxiety, there's a video out there that talks about kids watching too much screen time, and the younger and younger and younger, and they are just like volatile. They're just like, it's the screen time is considered like addiction is, and that it just kind of, that's kind of where that shaking that thing up is pretty crazy. This is just kind of off the cuff, not necessarily what I'm talking about in my book, but just responding to what you said. So, and it, wow, the sky is even looking more beautiful now too. And behind
it is. Don't you find though that this sometimes parents hand this to the kids and we think we're doing them a favor? In reality, it is causing more stress. And I think they're finding that with research right now that it's causing more anxiety.
They're finding out that we are having trouble with when individuals go to sleep because it is a blue screen and they're not getting enough sleep. And we're having trouble with fear of missing out. And that's why people are actually looking at the, that's why people are actually looking at the their phones and stuff.
You know, it seems like with my three boys that I raised, that I was one of those fathers that made sure they had all the, back in those days, Super Nintendo games, and they went to the room and played those games over and over and over and over. But the times and the memories that they had most of all, that they, I think, enjoyed the most, was when after it rained, we rolled up our pant legs, took our shoes and socks off, or legs on our pants, and took her shoes and socks off and went wading in the water, and just having fun outside and playing baseball and hitting pop flies and grounders. And, you know, it seems like kids don't have that kind of connection with their environment anymore. It's all about what's going on in the tech world.
Right. One of my favorite memories is when we had Easter. It was really cool. So the whole house would be decked out, and they took my parents at night after we were sleeping, they had candy everywhere. And I mean everywhere. And there's four of us, and we each had an Easter basket, and they would hide it anywhere in the house. So what happens is you come down the stairs, and each of the steps has some kind of candy. And everywhere on the chair, on the railing, on the table, all over. And you can't get the candy until you find your Easter basket.
Oh, what temptation.
Every year. So, you know, it was a marks get set go kind of thing. And then we all searched around and searched for our basket. And you could hear, you know, there's upstairs and downstairs. You hear like, I found one. Yo, who found their dude? And then you'd look one. And I mean, they were everywhere. They were in the dryer. They were in the closet. They were in the freezer. They were under the stairs. They were in the hamper. They were, you know, in the, not the attic. That was the one place we couldn't go. But, and then when we finally had our Easter baskets, then it was a free-for-all. On the marks, get set, go grab as much candy as you can. And we just went crazy. And that is one of my favorite things. Because as a kid, you're like, oh, I can see that, you know, each step, you're like, oh, I can see that chocolate egg right there. Nobody will notice if I take it right now. Nobody notice. Keep going down, 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 down. But yeah, that was seriously one of my favorite, you know, and that has nothing to do with, you know, the electronics, and it yeah. is, it's all about face to face. So that being said, anyways, that's not what I wrote my book about, but I don't know if you want to introduce more or just.
Well, when you were going through what you was going through, yes. When did you recognize that it was an issue that needed to be addressed, or was it just recently? Was it something you ran across in your college education or when other kids that you were teaching? When did it become something in your mind of saying, wait, that was me, and I dealt with that all of my life, and then I want to end up turning the corner and really talking about the sad. But when did you recognize that's who I am, that's what I have, that's what I've been experiencing?
Well, when I was younger, I never liked Christmas. So, I mean, well, that's not true. I had good and bad about Christmas. We would have, we would have our breaks, and I hated it. I was a special ed individual, and what special ed is prone to have is they have their schedules, and so the schedule, they know what they're going to do. And that was, you missed out on that as a special ed individual. So I was kind of crazy not having. They're not having that. And then because it was, Christmas, well, looking forward to Christmas was one thing. And then after Christmas is over, then the winter is just horrible. January, there's nothing to look forward to. And then it's also colder and it's usually more dirtier because of all the different snow banks and stuff that don't melt away. But yeah, I dealt with winter a little differently compared to, when everybody was saying, like you should be enjoying this stuff. And I didn't, because there was nothing, it wasn't, I didn't enjoy it. And I didn't really, my family was always like, come on, like you should be enjoying it. But I always got my information and, from school. And so from school, I kind of like had my purpose. And then at home, it was kind of like, well, I'm the youngest of the family, so it's like, the baby of the family. So, doing your thing. But I don't know. That was what I've. That's as far as I know. Where it was there. But
So
during
was
the winter,
school your comfort zone? Was that your safety zone? Was that that controlled
I wouldn't say comfort
environment that
zone.
made you feel comfortable?
I wouldn't say comfort zone, but I've knew I wanted to be a teacher since I was in second grade.
Wow.
And I've always been, no matter what job it is, and including when I was a kid, I'm the one that you give to Dan, he'll teach them whatever it is. So there's lots of times that teachers would explain something and I would get it a different way. And I was able to explain it to others and be like, here, try this way. And so all the time, like teachers would pass me on to, hey, there's a new kid, Dan, tell him. Show them the ropes. And so that was it. But as far as special ed was concerned, when special ed was created, I was part of the new, well, not I when special ed, I was part of the new part of special ed when it was first created. So there was a lot of stigma on it. I was stupid, I was retarded. I still can't say that word. I mean, like anytime, that's my word. But yeah, if you that's what kids dealt with. They were retarded, they were stupid, and special ed has gone so far since then. There was a pullout. Now there's something called pullout versus I can't remember what it is now, but like out of classroom. So pullout means that they go to a different classroom, and I went to a different classroom, and I remember, when fifth grade, one point. And it was the same thing. It was a camper outside of the school, and I passed my fifth grade class, and then I came back another time later and like, hey, stupid, what are you doing over there? I was like, oh, great. And so first for me, special ed and the word retarded always kind of, but learning disabled is just that. Somebody coined the term and they said at a conference, it's almost as if these kids are learning disabled. And it went from there. So I've had some hills to climb. Whereas I was special ed, I had Jacksonian epilepsy, which is having seizures when you're younger. And I was born in a seizure. My mom and I believe I was born in a seizure. I didn't breathe or anything when I came out of the womb. And the doctor set me on a cold table. And then he helped me up and I peed on him. So he's like, oh, your kid's okay. So yeah, I had seizures when I was younger until, and Jacksonian is something you grow out of. So I was out of that after like in junior year of high school. But what happened with us is because we still were learning about Jacksonian epilepsy, and they didn't have the right medications. I went through 24 different medications,
Night.
and yeah, some made me hyper, some made me sleepy, some made me, all kinds of different things.
Did
And
they diagnose you with the wrong things?
no, they just didn't have the right, it just didn't match. And we found the right one, bam, I was like a kid again. So there, for me, it almost was like I was in a daze until I got that point. So everybody talks about what they remember in school, and I'm like, yeah, I don't remember much of that because I was in a daze. Because there's two kinds of seizures. There's the grand mal seizure where you actually shake and stuff, and then there's the one where you just kind of you zone out. And often, I mean, like when somebody's looking at TV and you're like, hey, like that, that's kind of what it would be like. You just don't have, you're not there. And my mom, my parents, and my family all dealt with that. And so yeah, I was kind of, yes, I was the baby, but I also had all these different things going on so people were overly protective of me, which is good and bad. So
When's how much of the percentage of people, how vast of an issue of a problem is SAD? How prevalent is it?
all right, so since we are talking about SAD, I'll explain things. So this is Sam, and Sam is happy, and sometimes he's sad, and I'm going to show you.
Sure. Oh no.
Yeah,
Okay.
there's sometimes he's sad. Can you see that?
Yes.
Good. All right, but since I'm in an interview and I'm enjoying myself,
There
I'd rather be sad. I'd rather be happy.
you
And then
go.
also, you see that? Why is Sam so sad? There he is. There you go. So, 5% of the population deals with SAD. 90% of
Percent.
the pop, what?
5%.
5% of the population deals with SAD. 90% of that population deals with winter SAD. 10% of the population of that 5% deals with summer SAD. So there's two kinds of SAD. Most people don't know about summer SAD. I didn't know until I was doing research. While doing this book, I've found more information than I ever could have wanted on SAD. Well, I mean, I've enjoyed it, but yeah, I found out that there was summer SAD, and nobody knew about that. And so it's just like, oh, that's cool. So as far as winter SAD, if you think about it, what a person goes through is kind of like a bear. Like they hibernate and they gain weight and they oversleep and they are not thinking properly. There's a little confusion in their thoughts. And as far as what they eat is like they eat comfort foods. And that would be the winter SAD. The summer SAD on the other hand, and there, it leads to depression. The summer SAD on the other hand, there's a lot of anxiety. They don't sleep, they have insomnia. And well, the winter SAD is during the peak hours are or the peak months are January and February, I believe, was the peak months. And then I can't remember what the peak months of summer are. I apologize. But yeah, so it's completely different, the two different ones. And but yeah, there's 10% of that.
Does both seasons cause isolation?
Yeah. But it's
So
more.
you to cope with what you were dealing with, Dan, you chose to isolate yourself. Was that one of the things that made you
For
feel
me,
or that
I
you
isolated for two reasons. One, I didn't want anybody to deal with my mess. I didn't want to be a burden to somebody. And the other thing is, I didn't want to be by people because I didn't want to be by happy people. I didn't want to fake it and be. I'm not in the book, Why is Sam So Sad? He, deals with not having, being sad about just hang a second here. Oh, where is it? in Christmas time, he's not happy. And where is it? Sure. Anyway, so he was called Moby Marvin at the time. There we go. I apologize for the.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
There. I guess it just looks like I'm holy
you're a star.
So there you go. There's Sam when he's sad. And during Christmas time, he's just not very happy. And there's another picture I like. Actually, probably my favorite one is when he is sad and you think about the world where we are, there are places where there's cold and there's places when there's warm in there's warm countries and cold countries. When we're going through our winter, some other country is going through their summer. And so Sam, during winter time, wishes he could go. Can we see that?
Yeah.
Wishes he could go to a different place where it's warm. That's my favorite one, I think.
That's great. I tell you what, we're going to take our commercial break. I want to get into the research,
sure.
What this does, how to help people diagnose it, how to understand if it's connective to things that happen during that season that may cause that rethinking process. A lot of that other stuff I want to really get into, and we're going to drill down deeper right through that little beautiful hat of yours into that brain to figure out what you know about this, what you think our listeners need to know. And if somebody is saying, hey, wait, this is me, what can we do to help them out? So we're going to be right back after this short commercial break. Hang with us.
All right.
HCI Publishing that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
All righty, welcome back. We have our guest this evening, Dan Granger. And Dan, hold up your book so we can see this. I have this book. It is excellent. I've recommended it to everybody, and you can get that. Is the best place, Dan, for them to get that? Is that on Amazon?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you can go. Currently, believe it or not, currently it is on a bestseller shelf in Canada with a store called The Maple Staple. It's on a best seller shelf.
Well, that's wonderful. So how did you get so popular up in Canada? What's going on up there that...
Opportunities have come to me with this book that I would never have even imagined. And one of the interviews was seen, I believe it was by Stephen Mileto. And they said, yeah, I saw this thing on Stephen Mileto. And we're like, oh, well, let's get some money from him. Okay, we'll get some money from him. What are you going to do for me? Well, we're going to put you on a bestseller shelf. We're going to publicize you. And there's something in Canada called the word on the street. And the word on the street, I guess, is like this big book fair thing that goes on. I apologize. I haven't been there. I can't speak to that. But when they were explaining to me, my book will be in this bookstore during this time when there's word on the street is going on. And that's like, I believe, late September. So for six
that's
months.
That's fantastic. You know, I've read this book from cover to cover twice. And it's
really cool.
It's a simple read. It's beautiful. It's not only because let me try to take a peeling off, Dan. You didn't write this just for kids. You wrote it for kids and parents, so parents could understand, and teachers, so they could understand what the children are going through, correct? It's
Yes.
Not just a bedtime story for children.
Not at all, no.
Right.
In fact, when I, in my bio, it says that my writing, my teaching still comes out even my writing.
Yes.
Well, the reason I wrote this book, and this is where we're, you know, you want to get in dark, deep, whatever, here we go. I was currently at a factory and my job, and I worked 14 hours a day and 7 days a week. During COVID, those two years were the worst 2 years, really hard on me. I did not see the sun because I was to work before the sun rose. And by the time I left, the sun wasn't there either. That being said, during that time, I had no purpose. My dad passed away. I used to live in Arizona for 18 years. My dad passed away. And when COVID hit, I didn't really have anything. The job that I had was told that we were going to allow you 2 days out of five. And I'm like, I can't do that. And I came back to Wisconsin. And when I came back to Wisconsin, it was almost as if the sad's like, ha ha, the evil cackle from the evil individual. And we remember you, then this is going to be worse than you've ever had, which is true. It was worse. Why is that? Because, and we're showing my age, but when you're 40, your serotonin and your melatonin decreases. So remember that. We'll talk about serotonin and melatonin a little bit later and you'll understand that. But your melatonin and your serotonin, which is like boosts you happy energy, and melatonin is what makes you more the tired. Those two chemicals are distributed during throughout your life, and even more so and less so varying the weather. So and it has to do with lighting, but I'll explain that later. So I had no light. I was in a factory. And the lighting wasn't enough. And I just didn't want to be in the world anymore. I didn't want to be there. And so this book came up. Actually, I was writing another book, believe it or not. And I put that book on hold. And I felt compelled to write this book. I need to get this out. I need to get this out. And I had two things that brought me out of my depression, which and gave me a purpose. One is this book, and the other, excuse me, is my best friend. He was diagnosed and he needed a kidney. And I thought, no problem. I'm not going to need it where I'm going. So I went on a journey to the many hospitals for a year and a half trying to give a kidney away. It turns out, time passed. I have both my kidneys. My best friend, who I've known since junior high, also named Dan, believe it or not. So when we're together, it's Dan squared. And then when I went to Arizona and I came back, I was the other Dan, which I wasn't very happy about because he was supposed to be other Dan. But anyways, and it all depends on which friend meets either one of us, because then they know one's the other Dan versus blah, blah, blah. So, but when one moves about, they're guaranteed the other one. They're guaranteed the other Dan. So anyways, how much friendship and how much everything we've gone through, I had no problem giving him a kidney in my mind. Cause like I said, I had nowhere, I'm not going to use it. And if you give a kidney away, it's normally supposed to be 6 months. So my year and a half was kind of unique that was the case. And I believe that fate gave me something and said, okay, well, this is what you're going to be on. This is, you know, and thankfully he ended up okay. He, down the road, he needed a pancreas and a kidney, and he ended up getting them both within like 2 weeks. And that was an incredible story in itself. But Yeah, that was how it was. I
So
didn't
having
have.
that connection, was I completely off with the words at the beginning of the program to be able to deal with sometimes of the emotion that connection can make all the difference in the world?
Yeah, very much. So yeah, I mean, totally. I agree that the emotions were just in, they were high, and yeah.
So you wrote this book and it's out, and hopefully hundreds of thousands will be sold this evening. And was that
Let's
that's what we're
hope. Yeah,
shooting
that
for?
sounds
Yeah,
great.
why not? Why
No.
not? What's some of the things that you hope people get from purchasing this book and reading it and learning it and passing it on and
Couple of
recommending
things.
it? What
Oh, sorry.
are you hoping it to provide?
Couple of things. One of the things one of the reasons I wrote this book is that when you go through sad, it's a very lonely time because you're pushing people away and you're pushing people away and you don't even want to be around them and you pull away. And the thing about it is people don't know unless they know of you or know, like my best friends know, hey, during Christmas time, Dan's going to push you away. Just know it. You know, he's going to push you away regardless of anything. And then, you know, later on, summertime or whatever, we'll get back in together and things will be cool. Or, you know, you might have to encourage them extra because, and my friends and family, like I said, my friends and family know that. Now, if somebody new, I meet somebody new during Christmas or whatever, and I push them away, well, then I just lost that friend. That's a casualty. So one of the things that this book does is it provides the person with sad or the child with sad or whoever with sad, the reason why they're pushing people away, but even more so, those that don't know, those that don't know why they're being pushed away in the first place. Like, this is somebody, you know, it's one of my best friends. Why is he pushing me away? Or this is a loved one. Why are they pushing me away? So that's something I really hope that people understand from this book. The other thing that I hope that people understand from this book is gratitude. In the very last page, I talk about gratitude. I have a gratitude list. Sam has a gratitude list. If you go on my lo if you go on my webpage, dan-granger.com, Sam has a webpage, and there's more information there too. But yeah, gratitude, according to, I cannot think, but Tony Robbins, he said you can't be fearful and grateful at the same time. You can't be sad and, you know, and grateful at the same time. They don't allow. So you need to be grateful and like shift your mind to gratefulness. And I've done that. My mom used to, she used to pick me up, you know, for at school, and she would deal with this, you know, as a parent. I can't even imagine, you know, some of the stuff she heard. You know, her baby, her child is, you know, saying, spouting all these bad things, blah 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 blah. And she'd pick me up, and she's like, "Tell me one good thing that happened before you tell me everything bad." I'm like, "Come on!" And she would stop the car, like, you know, "Tell me now." My friends would be like, "Hey, Dan did this." And she looked at me, she's like, "That's two." I'm like, "Oh, are you kidding me? I had to give you one." "Nope, now it's two." "You know the rule. Don't have them tell you." I'm like, "Okay." So then it's like, "Well, we had pizza today because it's Friday." "Okay." Started the car, we go. So that being said, I learned to be grateful, as frustrating as it was. And I even say that in the book, like, this is one of the hardest things in the world for me during that sad time, because in depression, you don't think positive. You don't think that way. And she held strong every time she'd pick us up, and you know, and she was good about it. If we were late, that was on me because I didn't start it. You know, and it didn't matter who was in the car. If you know, my siblings were in the car and they had to get somewhere, I needed to say something. That was it. You know, and my friends couldn't say it. I was the one who had to say something good. So anyways, Sam has a list of gratitude, and we need to be grateful as much as we can and grateful for all the things that have happened, because you'd be surprised. It once you start being grateful, and I have a list in my phone of things that I'm grateful for. And, you know, I try to get like 3 to 5 every day. Sometimes it's 2, sometimes it's 1. You know, it can be like, what you want to be grateful for is things that you can do for others. You know, what can you do? What can you do and what can you receive? And believe it or not, there's something called a helper's high. It's the, you know, like the runner's high, but there's a helper's high. Believe it or not, I heard that from Tim Tebow. but you get this thankfulness and good feeling out of something you do for somebody, especially if you do it for somebody. If you do it for somebody, you get more of that feeling. If somebody does it for you, it's just like, you didn't have to do that. Like, most of my family members and people that know me know I don't do well receiving.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't deserve that. You don't. Thank you so much, but I don't deserve that. And so a lot of times it was like, all right, fine, I won't give Dan stuff, because I'd always push that away too. But that's just me. But yeah, as far as gratitude is concerned, you need to be thankful for things that you can give and things that you can receive. And like I said, it's more important to give than to receive. And
yeah.
What
are some of the things, Dan, that you need if a parent is thinking that maybe their child has this? Well, what's some of the things that you need during those low times, that winter months of January, February? What is it that is the best medicine for you emotionally when you're dealing with it?
That one basically was just basically sure. You know, as much as you want to pull away, I mean, keep an eye on your kid. And this goes for both parents and teachers. You know, parents know their child and teachers know their students. So just keep an eye on their students or child and make sure that they're not pulling away, because they're going to pull away. It's shown in, for the younger kids, for special or for SAD, it is, the really young kids cry and get agitated and stuff like that. So it doesn't look like it actually is depression. And as far as teenagers are concerned, they pull away and they leave, you know, things that they once loved, where it's, you know, extracurricular things or relationships or whatever. And during that time, you just want to make sure that, you know, that they know that you're there for them.
Yeah.
You know, try to do things that are special for them as much as you can. But in all honesty, yeah, there are certain, you know, I didn't want to be part of like celebrations, like, you know, parties or whatever, because I didn't want to bring people down. You know, that's probably why I didn't like Christmas, you know, like, and that's, you know, why I got called Mopey Marvin, which that is in the book too.
Right.
And as far as the book's concerned, Sam is me and I am Sam. Like, everything that's gone on with Sam was me. So,
and they say,
write what you know. Well, I knew this, and that's kind of how I came about. And the reason why I wrote the book was when I was feeling that way and when I had no purpose, I thought, you know what? Other people are probably going through this now too. Other people, especially in the Midwest, are going through this feeling of loss. And, you know, and I mean, and COVID really messed a lot of things up. So and depression and anxiety was like through the roof. There's like, it tripled compared to before COVID. And I mean, that's teenagers, adults, number one, and whatever. As far as depression is concerned, in 2025, it will be the leading illness that people are diagnosed with. Like, it's pretty crazy.
With 5% of the population having this,
yeah,
is the suicide rate high in this 5% compared to teenagers that haven't been diagnosed with this?
I can't speak to that effect, or I can't speak to that. I did find a lot of research on suicide, and suicide is like the fourth leading thing of death for teenagers. But I know that I've gone through times with when I thought about it, but I've never, until that one time Well, the during COVID, when I actually, thought it out and was like, okay, I'm going to leave. I'm planning this. But a lot of times it's kind of, you're just like, oh man, like this is, and sometimes you just kind of think about it and you're like, it would be nice. But what my brother said, and I remember when he said it, I was so mad at him for being logical and being right. I was just so mad. He said something, and to me, and this is the way that a depression person thinks, I'm leaving this world. I'm taking my problem, which is me, out of the way for you. See you later. And he said to me, that is the most selfish thing you can possibly do. And I'm like, what are you talking about? No, it's not selfish. I'm a problem. I don't need to be here for you. And he said, no, if you do that, you're going to cause a problem. And the problem is going to be that everybody is going to wonder what they could have done and never have that answer. And it's because of you. And it took a while for me to get that. I respect my brother a lot, but I was still pissed at, like, no, my way was right. I would take myself out of the problem. I'm, being the hero. And he's like, no, you're not. That being said, as far as there was talking about, one of the things I read about was when adults, especially the father figures, leave and they take themselves out of the world, however you want to say it. The money value is lost is incredible. And not only what individuals and the family go through, but just economically. Like I never even thought about that. I mean, that and how much in debt people are because of that. And obviously that's something you don't think about when you're dealing with depression.
Wow, those are good points. We have about a minute or two left, Dan. What would you want to share with somebody that's sitting here going, "Wait, you're talking about my child. I'm recognizing what you're saying, and I'm seeing this year after year in my own child." What would you recommend besides getting the book that they need to immediately do to try to help and reach out to a
So the
loved one?
remedies, so the remedies, there's a couple different remedies, but the main remedies is light therapy and there's cognitive behavioral therapy. So the cognitive behavioral therapy is basically retraining your brain to like things. Hang on one second, I wrote it down. So for dealing with depression, so your mind would think, things like fortune telling, which this is in the book that I read from Norman E. Rosenthal, who coined the term seasonal affective disorder back in 1985. So, and he's had a couple different books, and so he's the guru, and I hold a lot of respect to him. So, as far as the depression and CBT, the cognitive behavioral therapy, there's fortune telling, which is something unpleasant happens, and therefore you conclude that bad things are always going to happen. So that's one thing that you would think about. So the therapist would work with you trying to change that. Another thing is overgeneralization, thinking that bad things are going to happen because they always happen and no good things ever happen, And so they change that with you too. And then the all or none, thinking if something bad happens, then you must automatically leap to the worst conclusion possible. And obviously, again, they'll try to change that with you. So, and those are called ANTs, automatic negative thoughts. And like ants on the ground, you can stomp those out with the right therapy. The other thing is light therapy. So, light therapy is what he basically was talking about. And there are actual kind of lights. I actually had one of these. There's a sunrise light, which mimics the sunrise in your room. And then there's another kind of light which needs to be kind of above you, where we're above you, and the light needs to hit your eyes, and it should be what is it, half an hour with these kind of lights, and it's called Lux. Hang on a sec, yeah, this was all like very technical. I'm like, oh, that's all the good stuff. So the lux is the measure of illuminance, and to you want to have 10,000 lux when you buy the right lighting. So for example, a hallway would be 100 lux. That's the light that would be in a hallway, and then offices would be 500, supermarkets 750, and what you want the 10,000 is like a full daylight on a clear day would be like 10,000 lux. And there are ones out that are more than 10,000 lux. But yeah, so what happens is when this light enters your eyes, and I apologize, when I wrote the book, I found information out. It does not enter the skin. I thought that the sun provides vitamin D and enters the skin, and that's how SAD is. That's how we deal with SAD as far as the lighting is concerned. When so this is breaking news information for you. So what happens is it's the light that comes into our eyes, not our skin, not our body, that we found out according to Norman E. Rosenthal. And what you do is you set up this light and you either look at it, but you don't have to like stare at it, but just have it where so the light can be in your eyes, not to the side above, so like it's going to mimic the sun. And that'll be a half, yeah, like 30, 20, 30 minutes. And you want to have that 2 feet to like a foot and a half to 2 feet away from you. And you do this so many times per day.
Wow.
And you get better and better because this light, now you're getting, instead of all these dark days of winter, you're dealing with, your mind is thinking, okay, this is a brighter summer kind of thing like that. And the
Right.
dark days of winter are no longer there, or they're no longer, your mind's thinking differently. So,
Well, Dan, we're completely out of time. They're telling me they got to go to the next show. Hold up your book one more time, real quick for me, if you
okay.
would. Fantastic. Why is Sam So Sad by Dan Granger, Granger. Get this book. And Dan, thank you so much for sharing your time with us tonight. And I'm so glad you found your purpose. And may you continue to be the word on the street in Canada and
Yeah,
all over
totally.
America as we do. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. DanGranger.com or
There you go. There's how to get a hold of them.
DanGranger.com.
We're going to close real quick because we're getting ready to go to another live show. Thank you for being with us tonight. As always, no matter what you've endured, no matter what you're going to endure, no matter what you're going through right now or going to face next week, there's always, always hope. And in that hope, you'll find purpose of why you're still here. And when you find that purpose, the darkness starts fading away and the light starts shining in. Thank you, Dan, for being with us. God bless you all. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week. Right here.
Take
God
care.
bless.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.